The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Happy Thanksgiving from all of us at SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Pauly.
Watch Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson battle for a winner-take-all $9 million at Capital One The Match. See it on BR.live and pay-per-view coming up Friday, maybe today if you're in the East, tomorrow for everybody else. It's going to be on at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Had an NFL triple header today. It wrapped up with the Saints winning their 10th in a row. They are 10-1. They defeat the Falcons 31-17. And let's bring in somebody who covers the Saints, writing for the Canal Street Chronicles. He's also the host of the Bayou Blitz podcast. He is Bob Rose. Bob, thank you for taking some time, especially on Thanksgiving. Late at night, you're really doing a lot here. So thank you for the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure to join you guys. I appreciate you asking, Matt, and I hope you and everybody out there is having a great has had a great Thanksgiving.
I certainly have. The Saints had a pretty good Thanksgiving themselves, winning over the Falcons 31-17. Yeah, it's almost tough to ask you specific questions about the game because it just feels like it's just another game where they keep doing everything that they've been doing now for the better part of the last 2.5 months.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm challenged to really find a major weakness on this team right now. Now, obviously, we still have a bit of the year to go. You know, the Rams, the Chiefs, and the way the Bears played today, there's a handful of teams in the NFL that could certainly contend for the crown, not only for Super Bowl championship, but even to come out of the NFC. But the way the Saints are playing, I mean, they're beating everybody in all phases of the game. And I don't think you can't help but be impressed by the way Sean Payton's crew is playing.
How much does this team realize that they do have to keep their proverbial foot on the proverbial pedal because they want to keep in front of the Rams who they have that tiebreaker against to make sure that if it is a Rams-Saints championship game, that would be in New Orleans?
You know, I think that they are an extremely focused bunch. As heartbreaking as last January's playoff loss to Minnesota in the last seconds was, that gave the team a real sense of what they need to do to maintain focus and to prevent any kind of letdowns. Because a lot of people forget, I mean, we know Breeze has been around, obviously, for quite some time. But outside of him and a couple other veteran leaders like Cam Jordan and Mark Ingram, who are, of course, vital parts to what they do, the rest of this team is still extremely young, which is all the more impressive at how well these coaches and the other leaders in that locker room are preparing these guys and keeping them focused. They seem to find a new chip on their shoulder every week. Now, that wasn't hard to do this week. Of course, you know, the 100th meeting between Atlanta and New Orleans, kind of the NFL's version of Coke and Pepsi or Auburn versus Alabama. You know, I could go on and on. So it certainly wasn't hard to have focus for this game. But you're right. they realize what the Rams could do, and they have an eye through the rest of the league. Peyton's had very talented teams before that fell short of what the ultimate goal was also. So I think he, his coaches, and certainly Drew Brees, realize how important every individual game is. And that trickles down through these young players.
Drew Brees certainly not alone as being a veteran, older quarterback in the NFL having success. Tom Brady's out there, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, all 34 or older, Brees at 39. But do you ever kind of shake your head at the fact that he's doing what he's doing this year in his year 39 season?
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. And I think, you know, when you take a good, close look at his statistics, you can even rule out the fact that he is 39. He's having an amazing season for a quarterback of any age.
Yeah.
But then when you realize that he's been around, like you say, as long as he has, and he's completing passes at about a 77% clip, on pace to obliterate his own single-season passing record for completion percentage. And he can still throw for upwards of 350 and 400 yards if he has to beat a team. He can still make all the throws, even at 39. He moves around well in the pocket and can escape the rush. And, of course, his ability to diagnose the opposing defenses like a computer is legendary.
His receivers are clearly putting up big numbers, but these are not exactly guys who are household names for the most part. Does that add to just how much credit he deserves because of who he's throwing to?
Yeah, absolutely. Brees is one of a handful of players in the league now, and that's what makes him truly special, that he makes average players good, good players great, and great players potential Hall of Fame worthy. And that is indicative throughout his Saints career. Remember, accomplished receivers like Lance Moore was undrafted. Marcus Colston came out in the seventh round. Willie Snead, who had a couple of very good years with them, he was undrafted. Now, Michael Thomas is one of the better receivers in the NFL. I don't think anybody would question that. But he threw four touchdown passes tonight, and every single person that he threw a touchdown pass to was an undrafted free agent. Tommy Lee Lewis, Dan Arnold, Austin Carr, Keith Kirkwood, two of the four of them, that was their first career touchdown pass. So you're right. I mean, he's made a career out of spreading the ball around, getting the ball to his playmakers, and getting it to them in space with the opportunity to make plays. And he's just terrific at it.
Talking to Bob Rose from the Canal Street Chronicles and also the host of the Bayou Blitz podcast. Find him on Twitter at BobbyR2613. You always worry about these short week games, but they get through it. They get through it with a win, and now they get a little bit of time until they have to take on the Cowboys. What can be accomplished for this team during this period where they get a couple extra days of rest?
Well, that's just it. Rest. Marcus Davenport got back onto the field tonight after missing three or four games with a foot injury, but he still looked a little bit slowed up. So we're certainly hoping that he doesn't re-aggravate that, especially sitting in the position that they are in. We were kind of talking amongst our circle of writers before I was honored to come onto the air with you, and we were all kind of in agreement that if the kid needs more rest, they should absolutely give him more rest. Tre'Quan Smith sat out today's game with a foot injury after a terrific outing last week. I'll be interested to see what his injury progress is like. And then Teron Armstead, their outstanding left tackle, missed his second straight game with a pectoral injury. So we can't wait to get him back onto the field as well. That's just it, rest. And even the healthy guys are not healthy this time of year. I mean, any NFL player knows what the trials and tribulations that their bodies go through. So any time that they get an opportunity to rest up a little bit is always a good thing. And Dallas is going to be no pushover next week.
Yeah, that leads me right into my next question for you. Cowboys on a little bit of a run themselves, not the run the Saints are on, but on a little bit of a run themselves. They pushed themselves into first place in their division with their win today. What challenges do you think that the Cowboys are especially going to provide for the Saints next week?
Dallas is an extremely physical team. Offensively, I think anyway they're extremely limited in their passing game. Although Amari Cooper, after Dallas traded for to get Cooper from the Raiders, Amari is looking better and better each week, and I know he had a big game against Washington tonight. But offensively, that team, the Cowboys team, goes through the strength of their offensive line and the talents of Ezekiel Elliott. So that'll be a definite challenge to the Saints' top-ranked run defense. And then defensively, Dallas doesn't get mentioned with the better defenses in the league, but you look at their statistics and they're right up there with anybody. They are solid back in the secondary. They have a good pair of cornerbacks. And in the front seven, again, just like offensively, they can get very physical with the team, and really limit them. We saw it against Washington tonight, and primarily the role that you mentioned that the Cowboys have been on, in my opinion, it starts on the defensive side of the football. So I'll be interested to see what kind of game plan that Sean Payton and Drew Brees come out with to combat that.
Clearly, they're not going to look past the Cowboys, but the week after the Cowboys is an interesting game. They face off against the Buccaneers, the only team that has defeated them this year. It's almost funny to look back at week one when you see what's happened to the Saints and what has happened to the Buccaneers over the year. That loss to the Buccaneers just gets weirder by the week. But I got to think they're going to want to knock out the Buccaneers here in a couple weeks.
Oh, no question about it. And just like we said, one of the things that is truly inspiring about this team is the fact that they seem to find a new chip on their shoulder every week to motivate them. And not only is Tampa Bay a division rival, which usually takes care of motivation in and of itself, but the fact that they did come into the Superdome in week one, like you said, and really took it to New Orleans, especially defensively. New Orleans did struggle, particularly against the pass early in the season, but no more so than what that game against Tampa Bay. You'd have thought that you were watching Joe Montana and the reincarnation of his wide receivers out there, the way Tampa was moving the ball up and down the field in week one.
How in the world does the NFL allow a schedule to be put together where you're facing a division rival two of the last 3 weeks of the season?
I'm going to choose my words very carefully because I have not been a fan of the commissioner's office for quite some time. I think that their goal behind that whole thing was, and at least this is the way that they stated it, was that they wanted the games down the stretch in the final week and 2 weeks of the season to quote-unquote mean something. They don't want teams to rest their starters and their star players because they've clinched the division and the home field. They've clinched everything that they can clinch going into the playoffs. So I think that their thought process behind it was that if they geared games towards division rivals playing each other, that would increase the odds that there would still be things to be clinched, whether it be division titles or playoff bursts or what have you. I'd like to see the statistical numbers, whether they back that up or not, but I think that that's their philosophy was. The world of fantasy football rules all, rules most, as we know, and it costs the world of fantasy football a lot of people's interest waned because your Peyton Mannings and other stars would be resting in the final week or two of the season. So I don't know. Maybe Roger Goodell plays fantasy football. I don't know. But I think that might be the reason behind it.
He is Bob Rose. Read him in the Canal Street Chronicles. Listen to him on the Bayou Blitz podcast. Follow him on Twitter at BobbyR2613. Bob, thanks so much for not just joining us on Thanksgiving, but staying up late with us as well. We really do appreciate your time.
Oh, anytime, Matt. I love to be on with you guys. I appreciate it. And again, happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Same to you. Bob Rose joining us here on SB Nation Radio, and we appreciate him taking some time with us. As the Saints 10-1, they defeat the Falcons yesterday 31-17. Falcons, by the way, have been officially eliminated from NFC South contention, not eliminated from the postseason contention quite yet. But if we're being honest about things, you look at the standings right now in the NFL, and you look at those playoff standings. For me, where I put the line in terms of teams that still have a shot of getting into the postseason is the teams with 5 losses or less. So that's from the Packers up, and then from the Eagles down. With all due respect to the Eagles, and I know they still have a schedule where they're going to be able to possibly make some noise with still having games against the Giants, couple games against the Redskins, game against the Cowboys left. To me, Eagles are done. It's Packers and higher, those 5 lost teams and less. It's going to be tough for even a Packers and a Seahawks to maybe get into that spot. All right, let's take one final break. We will come back. We'll wrap up this evening here on SB Nation Radio. Matt Pauly in on a Thanksgiving night.